Good morning, everybody. Praise the living God. Wow. We are pressing through this whole pandemic in a year of pressing. And thank God for the voice of the Holy Spirit, the way he prepares us for such things. It's quite remarkable hearing the testimonies that are coming out from our people. Quick update. We've had probably about 75 harvesters that have suffered various symptoms under this pandemic, and only two needed hospital. One was just 24 hours. The other one was a bit more serious, 3 days. Somebody I'd been on it about them, about their physical outlook for quite some time, but I'll take up that with the rod of correction when I see them again and when we're all unlocked. How many of you are excited about the fact we're going to be unlocked soon? The word soon, I realized this in Christianity, the word soon is one of the most dangerous words you can utter. Because, you know, Jesus is coming soon. And it says it in the book of Revelation, and it took 2,000 years and he's still not here. But how many of you believe with me it will happen soon? This lockdown, I know, is going to come to an end very soon. And I just want to thank you. I want to pay tribute to everyone who has abided by the directives of the government. It's been very difficult. My car looks like it's 50 years old because it's not been washed for so long. My daughter, Abby, if you're watching, and anyone else, if you're watching, could you please comment on how good my haircut looks? The first time she's ever picked up a pair of scissors, or a scissors, as we say in Ireland, a pair of scissors to cut my hair, and she did an amazing, well, I think it's an amazing job. I think our next door neighbors, Vince and Gina, are watching. Vince is a barber, so Vince, you can have a look and see the job she did. You can post some tips through the letterbox or something like that, and it's just been an amazing, amazing time. Sometimes I have to shake myself and remember that a pandemic is on because of the way that God has dealt with us so bountifully, the way he's provided our needs, the way that he's given us the security and the surrounding of his love. I was watching Joel Osteen a couple of days back, and he said something, you know, concerning the way that God is dealing with his people in this pandemic. And it's like, you know, this thing is going on the outside, but devil, you have no place in me. You can't touch this. And then he started to talk about the MC Hammer song, "You Can't Touch This." And I started to sing and dance. I was in the bath, so I wet the bathroom floor and everything like that. But just hearing that word and rejoicing along with the rest of the body of Christ that we are protected, that God's hand of love, his hand of protection has been on us in such a mighty way. When our dear brother Anto got that word concerning Numbers chapter 31, verse 49, that, you know, we went through this war, but we've taken a census of the thing, and none of our number is missing. And something registered in my spirit that that would be the testimony of harvest. And so far, so good. I believe that the pandemic is slowly moving away from London, and that, you know, things will be unlocked very soon, the next couple of weeks, that we'll hear something great. In fact, the Lord told my spirit when I was, 14th of March, when I was praying about this thing, and I was saying, Lord, do something by Easter. Easter felt such a long time away back then. And I was saying, Lord, do something, please, by Easter. And then I felt a response in my spirit that God said that by May the 8th, that something significant would happen. So please do pray with me into that date of May the 8th, and we can get this thing done and dusted. We can unlock the country again. One of the things that's been on my spirit really strong is the economic damage. That, you know, when a house is on fire, you can't assess the damage. You have to wait until the fire is put out. And I really feel in my spirit that in the weeks to come, particularly up through into June, that we are going to experience some of the full extent of the economic damage that has happened in the nation. Now, we can pray against that economic damage. We know how to blow things out of the way. We know how to move mountains. Jesus Christ told us himself how to move mountains. So if you're in business, if you are an entrepreneur, if you've been suffering in any way as an employee, if you haven't made what you felt that you could make, etc., then I want you to pray along with us and agree along with us that the economic damage to this thing will be absolutely minimal in Jesus' mighty name. It's going to take a lot of pushing. God told us. You think about this. Last October, God started to speak to us that this year would be a year of pressing. And we need to press in to God for the promises of God. The Bible says that all his promises are yes and amen. In other words, God is not uncertain about his promises. We have to be the same way. We have to lay hold of his promises. And like lawyers in the courts of heaven, we have to present his law to him and say, Father, you said you would do it for us, so do it. And that's the way I want us to pray. There's certain things that we as the body of Christ that we have to go through. I can't explain why. When God took the children of Israel through the wilderness, in the book of Exodus, he said, I led you through this great and terrible wilderness. It was an 11-day journey, and it took them 40 years. And the reason that it took them 40 years was process. People say, why? Why are we going through this pandemic? Why are we suffering the way that we are suffering? There's a process. God has a process for us to go through. I said this to the Lord once. I said, Lord, when the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said this to Joseph concerning the newborn child Jesus. He said, take the child and flee into Egypt until Herod is dead. Thank you, sir. And the Bible says that Joseph arose the next day and took Mary and Jesus into Egypt, and they lived there for a number of years. I think it was 3 years, right? Well, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you are the all-powerful. You are the almighty. Why didn't you just kill Herod? And God said, he said, there was a process. There was a process to go through. I was doing something with that family in Egypt that needed that particular kind of detour. I know that in the coming weeks and months, some of us are going to have some sort of detours. That's part of the process. As good soldiers, the Bible says, as good soldiers endure hardship. So I don't know what will happen over the next few weeks and months, but get ready for it. Press into God now. I told the Lord that through this pandemic that I would be doubling my offering because Isaac sowed seed in the famine and he reaped 100-fold. And I'm a 100-fold type of guy. I'm very expensive. Hallelujah. I like rich things and stuff like that. And I don't want to suffer any lack through this whole pandemic. So I said to God, I said, how? What's the strategy? And he gave me that from Genesis 26, that Isaac sowed seed in famine, and in that year he reaped 100-fold. I said, right, Lord, I'm doubling my offering on this until this thing is done. And what I said to God, I said, in fact, this morning I was just praying about the thing. I said, Lord, there'd better be an outcome in this situation pretty soon, or the offering that I've doubled, that's just going to be my standard thing. So, devil, if you want the body of Christ to prosper, then keep doing what you're doing. Otherwise, back off. We rebuke this thing. We cast it back into the sea where it came from. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand victorious in this situation. We know that the devil has no victory. This is a process that we're going through, but we'll get through it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, my scripture for today, let me start with Matthew chapter 24. We'll start there. I was asking the Lord yesterday, I was studying in my room, and I was saying to the Lord, what is it that you want to speak to us about? What is it that you want to equip us with? Let me explain. God's word is an equipping word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, he will take of what is God's, give it to us, and he'll show us things to come. So he gives us what's from God by his word. And he shows us the things to come by his word. So his word is the epicenter of our lives. So I was studying last night. I said, God, I know my people don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. They want to know your voice, to hear your voice, to follow your voice, and to walk with you. So this is the scripture that God gave me. He said, tell my people to make sure that their love levels don't slip. Think about the amount of love that you carry that's from God. What does the Bible say? It says in the book of 1 John, it says, beloved, let us love one another because love comes from God. John 13:35, Jesus said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So there is something about the way that love marks us as separate from the world. The love of God, the Bible says, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in the 5th chapter of Romans, talking about hope and about how hope brings the promises of God to pass. He says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So literally, when I'm walking down the road, I am a vessel of love. I am a love carrier. I can walk down the road. I can say hello to people. I can greet them. I can be nice to people. I can be kind and loving. But I noticed even in my own life, and this is where this word came from, I noticed in my own life that my love levels were slipping. I don't know whether any of you have been experiencing what they call cabin fever through this particular situation. I like to go out. I like to be among people. I am intensely interested in people. One of the things I can do, and actually I learned this from the Italian culture. I was in San Remo in 1991, watching the cafes on the promenade there in Italy, where Italy meets France. And all the cafes, all the seats were pointing out the way. And I said, wow, this is my kind of place. And I got a coffee, and I sat there in San Remo, and I just people watched all the time. It was just lovely, just walking past in the promenade and just watching people go by about their business. For some reason, I am just fascinated by people. I can't explain. It's just, I don't know. I love people. I draw such energy from people. I am energized by people. So you can imagine how cut off I've felt through this whole epidemic. I just, you know, Jesus help me. Like somebody put a sketch on Facebook, and I copied it to my Facebook page. About, you know, there's two types of people. There's introvert people. There's people who draw, you know, they're fine. They're very self-contained. You know, they wouldn't even know. You put them in a house on their own with their laptop to and work to do. They wouldn't even know there's a pandemic on. And then there's other people like running at the door and scratching and climbing up the windows. And, you know, I realized, my goodness, I draw such energy from being around people. I'm energized around other people. And so this pandemic has been particularly hard on me. Thank God my mental health hasn't been affected, but I felt myself kind of like almost like shutting down part of my personality that just loves people. I love to hug people. You know, Harvest is a huggy church. We just hug each other all the time. It's like sometimes we have to break up the hugging so that we can get on with the service. And it's like, I'm just like hugging myself and hugging my wife and Abby and Buddy the dog. I'm like, that's all I got. And I just felt ever so slightly that this thing was starting to affect my love levels. And I said, God, I said, I can't have this. I said, you know, there's a prayer that I pray when the Lord reminds me. And it's this. It's like, Lord, give me more than enough love for today. Give me an abundance of love so that I can share that love around. You know, the Bible says, imagine it says, beloved, let us love one another because love comes from God. And it says, and God is love. This is how we know love, that he gave his only son for the wiping away of our sins. So there's something that God attaches himself to. Scripture says God is love. And it's like, wow, I get it, Lord. I get it. How you've deposited yourself in us by your Holy Spirit in the form of the greatest part of your nature that there is. And that's the nature of love. And it was like, wow, God, I thank you so much. Father, give me more than enough of this substance for today and for tomorrow and for the weeks ahead. The Bible says there's a checklist in Scripture about what love is, because people can say, oh, you know, love this, love that, love the other. But God is very specific concerning what love is. He says, love is patient, love is kind, love isn't jealous or boastful or proud. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't hold back, and it never fails. I have a substance. I carry a substance on the inside of me called the love of God, which never fails. As for tongues, thank God for tongues. As for prophecy, thank God for prophecy. As for the ability to hear the voice of God clearly, thank God for that voice, how he's led us through this great and terrible wilderness, how he's prepared us for it all those years back, how he's led us into the year of pressing so that we can press into the promises of God and push the start button back on the economy when it needs to be pushed. We can do that by prayer. But really the greatest thing is love. And I am so glad. I am so energized by the love of God. There's sometimes when I'm sitting down in my bedroom, I love to pray on my bed. What does the Bible say? Let them praise him on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. And that's the word of God for us. And literally, I'll sit there with the word of God in my hands, and I'll sit there and I'll listen for the voice of God. Sometimes I can feel his angelic presence just standing beside me. In fact, that word concerning the 8th of May that God gave me on the 16th of March this year, 15th of March this year, that word I heard by the voice of his angel standing beside my bed as I was sitting there praying. There's nothing like it, folks. Call on the presence of God. Call upon his name. Ask him, Lord, give me more than enough love for today. Allow my love levels to go higher, that what the devil has intended for harm, the Lord, you will turn around for good. At the height of this pandemic in London and the Southeast, I noticed something about how people's love was starting to shut down generally. I saw people wary of one another, fearful of one another, looking at each other with suspicion. You know, the anger, if it even looked like you were coming closer than 2 meters with people, and just the aggression and the fear that it brought out in people. It brought out the worst in greed. You know, while we were having, imagine this, guys, when we were having our conference on the Saturday, somebody sent me a picture of Costco in Watford on the Saturday morning, and the queue was a mile and a half long to get into Costco in Watford. And then one guy on Twitter, on social media, was complaining because he finally got into Costco, and he says, and there's one packet of pork chops in the fridge. He said, I've waited 4 hours for one packet of pork chops. He said, forget it, I'm going home. And that was the nature of the way people, fear and greed suddenly took over people. And I said, Lord, this isn't the nation that I was born into, we're better than this. We've had nearly 1,500 years of Christianity in this nation. We are one of the epicenters of Christianity on planet Earth concerning the way we took hold of the gospel. Even there's a city in the north of London called St. Albans, and Alban was the first martyr in England. He was martyred by the Romans for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 4th century AD. So Christianity has been preached in this nation for 1,600 years, and that has filtered down into the way we behave. It filters down into our mindsets and all that kind of stuff. And I was seeing this activity going on. I was saying, Lord, no, this isn't our nation. For some reason, God has wired me in to the soul of this nation. And I was looking at this thing. I was saying, God, no, please, no. Let it not be that we're behaving like this. We are bigger than this. And I said to God, Lord, we've got to make sure that this thing turns around. And that's when I really believe God gave me this word concerning our love levels. Brother and sister, watching, those of you watching all around the world, I know some of you key in before even your services in America and anything like that. Wherever you're watching from, ask the Holy Spirit right now to reboost your love levels, to reboost you, that this love that we have from God, that the rivers of love would again open up in your spirit. It is so, so important. Look what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 12. Now, until yesterday, I had never seen the connection between these two scriptures that we're going to read. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse number 12, it says, "And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." This is Jesus Christ talking about what will happen in the end of days. And it's quite remarkable because he says things like there will be earthquakes, there will be famines, there will be plagues, there will be pestilence. Man, we've had all four this year, 2020. It's like, what kind of year is this? Earthquakes, famines. Don't know if you saw the two volcanoes somebody put on social media when this volcano erupted that they said could affect life across northern Europe for the next 20 years. Somebody responded and said, "I'm sorry, we're a bit busy right now. We've got a pandemic. Can you please hold the volcano news until we've got the pandemic news out of the way?" And sometimes this year, it's kind of felt that way, like heaps upon heaps, that it hasn't just been the viral epidemic. There has been a crash in the price of oil. Some of you may not realize how important that is strategically to geopolitics. Nations could literally starve to death because of what's happened to the oil price. It's a very, very serious thing. On top of the oil price, then, we've had a financial market crash. And now it looks like they're just going over exuberant the other way, as if everything is going to be fine just because we've dealt with this pandemic. They don't realize yet that half the house has burned down while we've been locked down, and that it's going to take a serious push for us to get back to where we should be. By God's grace, my brother and sister, we'll do it. By God's grace, we'll achieve it. I really believe that we can do it. It's going to take a lot of push. It's going to take a lot of pressing into the promises of God. We know, thank God, Harvest is a praying church. We know how to pray. We know how to press into and to activate the promises of God. And we're going to come out of this thing like gold refined by fire. Hallelujah. This is one of the keys out. The Bible says, in verse number 12 of Matthew 24, and you know, if you haven't got a Bible yet, let me encourage you to like buy one or whatever, something like that, or we can get you one, ask a friend for one or something, because Matthew chapter 24 was preached 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ himself, and it outlines, I mean, the amazing ability of God to look 2,000-odd years into the future and explain what will happen in these end times. He said there'll be earthquakes, famines. He said you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. My goodness me. You turn on any kind of news situation, if they're not blowing each other up or shooting each other, or if there's not a coup or something, then you're on the wrong channel. It's remarkable. And he says this, he says, you'll be hearing of wars and rumors. He says, these things must take place. These things must take place. Pandemics must take place. Plagues must take place. Famines must take place. Because of the end time pressure on this planet. Things like sin, overwhelming sin. Think about this. I was thinking about last week, sitting in the garden when we had that beautiful weather. And I thought to myself, wow, I said, 6 weeks we'll be locked down. And I said, wow, I said, that's 1 week for every million abortions that's taken place in the UK since it became legal in 1967. I thought, what? 1 week for every million abortions. It put what we're suffering and going through in context, that there's been 6 million lives lost in the UK through abortion itself. And Jesus says this, he says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. He says they'll deliver you to tribulation, they'll kill you. You'll be hated by all nations on account of my name. At that time, many will fall away and deliver up one another and hate one another. There's a lot of hate out there. False prophets will arise and mislead many. He says then, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Look at the next verse, verse number 13. He says, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, he says the one who endures to the end shall be saved in connection to and in direct relation to love. We have to endure in love. We can't allow our love levels to slip. Yeah, but so-and-so nicked all the food, or but yet so-and-so sneezed on the tube, or yet so-and-so did this to me or that to me, or my boss laid me off, or my boss sacked me, or, you know, I haven't been paid, or ever, like, blah, blah, blah. Love is the way out. Love is the way through. Love is the way to victory. And I realized through this situation, reading news after news and clip after clip and tweet after tweet and Facebook message after Facebook message, etc., with all sorts of like nonsense, a big sort of soup of nonsense, I realized that my love levels were starting to slip. And I said, God, no, 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 no. Give me more than enough love for today, Father. Restore, plug, this is how it felt. Plug me back in to love. Remind me of its importance. And this is when God said, he said, he who endures in love to the end shall be saved. There's an endurance that we have to engage in. The endurance of love. We have to make love our goal. I really believe, and I'm going to close right now, but before I close, I want to pray for everyone's love levels right now. The Bible says love is patient, love is kind, love isn't jealous or boastful or proud, it doesn't act unbecomingly, it doesn't hold back, and it never fails. I want us to pray that the love of God once again will be shed abroad. We just receive a fresh baptism of love. Even right there where you're at now, in your living rooms, in your homes, in some of you in your places of work, you know, we've got something like 40-odd frontliners that we are ministering to regularly in Harvest through WhatsApp messages and through everything like that. And I just thank God for their lives. I have no idea what some of you are going through at this time, being on the front line. Everyone that I've heard from who's in the medical world, they're just saying that, that virtually the whole of their hospitals, the whole of their medical practices has been taken over by this horrible pandemic. I'm going to pray that a special love will surround your life, that the presence of God, wherever you are, will just visit you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, every single one of our doctors, every single one of our nurses, our delivery people, our medics, our care workers, those cleaning the hospitals, cleaning the care homes and making sure that the most vulnerable are protected, those on the front line in law enforcement, in the judiciary, in all those kind of areas, Father. Lord, we lift them to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the way that you've protected them, Lord. You led them through this great and terrible wilderness. Father, as the numbers tail off of fatalities, as more and more people recover from this cursed plague, Father, I pray, according to the book of Nahum, chapter 1, in verse number 9, the prophet Nahum 1:9, that affliction shall not visit a second time, that there shall be no major flare-ups in this nation, that with your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, you'll deliver us, Lord God, once again. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that where love has slipped from certain people through this pandemic, through what they've been going through, turn it back on, Father. Open the spigots once again of love. Open the floodgates of love once again, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. Lord God, your word says in John 13:35, by this substance, all people will know that we are your disciples if we have love one for another. Lord God, we rededicate ourselves to love once again. We rededicate ourselves to being patient, kind, not being jealous or boastful or proud, not acting unbecomingly, not holding back, never failing. Let us be like you, Jesus. I remember your word to me, Father, concerning Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very beginning of the Bible, where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then you said, change that word God into who I really am, love. And you spoke and you said, in the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. Father, we receive that love today. Everything you've done, everything you've created has been for love's sake. That for love's sake, our Savior Jesus gave himself as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed on the altar of our sin, cover and wipe away our sin forever, that we could stand holy, blameless, and full of the substance that you yourself are. We rededicate ourselves to love, Heavenly Father. The Lord God, your greatness will shine through us once again. Your blessing, your favor, your goodness, your prosperity, your mercy, your healing, your divine life, your generosity and kindness would glow through us, God. We reopen ourselves to love. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. all God's people say,